Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, it's great. Really honored. I'm really honored to be here. How many emerge? Emerge. I went to a conference camp to speak. I came out transformed myself, realizing just how much more I want of God to continue His work in me. And I'm so thankful for all of the men that stood up, stepped forward, were able to do it. If you weren't able to go this year and you're sitting there going, oh man, I feel like I missed out, that's okay, there's next year. Register today because it's going to be absolutely incredible next year. But get around the guys who've been doing this because, to me, they're on fire, and I'm very, very thankful that I had the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Leanne, for allowing your husband to, and, you know, blessing that so I could speak at the camp and the conference because it changed my life. And I know that if my life has changed, I'm going back. I'm going to change our church, and we're going to do a lot of great things at Inspire Church in Hawaii. And so thank you. I'm so grateful and so honored for my friends, Pastor Leanne and Pastor Jurgen, who have become some of mine and Lisa's closest friends. And that circle is getting tighter and more awesome than ever before because you guys are in our world and we are in your world. Thank you for having us into your life. I'm excited. Are you excited today? Awesome. One more thing, Pastor Paul and Judy Cole in the front row. It's good to have him. He's speaking at our men's conference in 6 weeks. Can't wait to have you. All right. Can we bow our heads and pray? Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your presence and your power that is in this place today. We thank you, Lord, for the house of the Lord. Thank you for C3 San Diego changing not just San Diego, California, but the whole world, Lord, impacting nations and pastors and leaders and men and women from all walks of life, Lord, because you're doing a great work in this church and in our lives. So, Lord, thank you so much. Bless this church abundantly. Give them the 16 campuses and more that they ever imagined, hoped for, or even thought of. Lord, we bless you. Help me to preach. Help us to lean in to listen. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to come around the Word of God in the Old Testament. And I love this portion of Scripture. I'm one of those guys that loves reading the Old Testament, although I love the New Testament. I love the imagery. I love the pictures that I'm able to see from the Old Testament, in particular, the relationship for Elijah and Elisha. Every one of us is on a journey. Can I get an amen? No matter what your journey is like, if you just started your journey with Jesus or you haven't even begun yet, you are still on a road, whatever it is. I'm thankful for the people that have paved the road for me, people who have gone before me, who I walk on the path behind them because of the hard work that they did. I think about my dad, John Kime, my dad, who's still alive to this day, and I'm very grateful for him. You'll see a picture of him at the end of the service here today, but I'm so thankful for my dad. My dad was a police officer, a first responder. Before that, he was also, in addition to being an awesome dad, my dad was a semi-pro baseball player, and I'm so grateful for everything he passed on to me, my brothers and my sister. When I got saved and gave my life to Jesus at the age of 21, I'm grateful for my senior pastor, Ralph Moore. He showed me what it meant to disciple people. He showed me what it meant to take the Word of God seriously and how to lead people to Jesus. I'm grateful. He gave me my first shot to preach, my first shot to actually teach, and I remember what it was like my very first time. I was so nervous and so scared. He had me teach Romans 8. Who does Romans 8 on their first time that they preach? He gave me a book. He said, study it. Preach Romans 8 for me. And that's what I did. Thankful for him. When I look at the relationship between Elijah and Elisha, what I begin to see is an older man imparting something to a younger man. If you know the story about Elisha, he asked for the double portion of the Spirit. It was an audacious request, but it was not out of the ordinary because he had no sons and he was the spiritual son. So he asked for it and God gave it to him. As a result of that, Elisha is now an older man himself. He's got a school of the prophets, right? He's teaching people how to prophesy, how to have that gift and how to operate in that calling. Not only is he doing that, but he's also teaching young men how to become stronger men. The Bible begins to tell us in 2 Kings chapter 5, I want to get to the text. He says this, that the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories. Now, just that sentence alone gives us three powerful things that are not in my notes, but I wanted to share with you that are important for us to look at. Number one, Aram. It was a nation that was north of Israel, in the Lebanon and Syria area as we know it today. So Aram was also an enemy of Israel as well. But God still gave Aram victory wherever they needed to fight. Not necessarily against the Israelis, but against their other enemies because everyone had enemies in those days. The second thing is, he had a commander. The commander who he loved very, very much. The king had a great commander, and his name was Naaman. Now, for the sake of being easier to move through the passages, we're going to call him Naaman. But I really believe his name was Naaman. Everybody say Naaman. 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 I used to say Naaman a lot when I was in high school. Naaman, I don't partake no more. You know what I'm talking about? Naaman. Naaman. But anyway, back in that day, Naaman, Yeah, time release for some of you. It's a little time release. You're going to get it in 5 minutes. But anyway, but though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Think about that for a moment. All of that in that one verse. He suffered from leprosy. A lot of us know about leprosy. In Hawaii, we had a leper colony. In the 1800s, leprosy came into Hawaii. They came in through the whaling ships. And all of a sudden, all of the Hawaiians, the native Hawaiians, began to contract this disease and through the contact. And as a result, they had to isolate them on the island of Molokai on a peninsula called Kalaupapa. On that peninsula, all lepers lived there. And they all lived there, they died there, but they learned to worship there. God sent a man named Father Damien to the Kalaupapa Peninsula where nobody wanted them. These were the outcasts. And this is where he went and he ministered to them. And the Catholic Church granted him sainthood status, although you and I know that we are saints, you know what I'm talking about? But we understand what he was doing there. We understand what they were trying to convey. That man sacrificed his life for the sake of the lepers. Now, when it comes to leprosy, you also know that you don't necessarily die because of the losing of the limbs. You die because you've lost feeling. As a result that you can no longer feel, you don't know that you're bleeding to death. And so for this man, who's a famous general, a well-accomplished man, we also know that he is a desperate man. Something is not working in his life. And so the Bible tells us this story is so important that God puts it here. In verse 2, it said, at this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. So she was part of the spoils of war, unfortunately. But verse 3, one day, the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying his gifts, 750 pounds of silver, that's a lot of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. There's two things I want to point out the obvious in this. Is number one, write this down in your notes. Number one, praise God for his work in us even when we were far from him. Thank God that he was working in us even when you and I were far from him. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that God was, even though I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior at the time, I thank God that he still worked in me, that he was still wooing me, he was still calling me on this journey, on this road that I was about to travel. And the second thing is, praise God for people who cared about our condition. Think about this young girl. She was trafficked. This young girl had been taken as the spoil of war. Still, she would say to the mistress who was married to the general, oh, if my master could only see the man of God who is in Israel, if he could visit the man of God in Israel, he would be healed. What a compassionate heart that even in this girl's pain and her suffering, she still noticed that somebody else needed a touch as well. We praise God for that. Number one, thank God that he still loved us in our condition. Number two, thank God for people who cared about our condition. You know, a lot of the men, I know that my story has a lot to do, and a lot of the guys that went to Emerge, you know my story, but most people don't. When I was 21 years old, when I was 19 years old, when I was 19, I was a university student at the University of Hawaii. I had all these dreams and goals and plans that I wanted to do. I was telling Pastor Paul about them, all the things that I was planning to do, but it's amazing how sometimes it's not necessarily God's journey, but it's the things that I do that God, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God will take my mistakes and turn it into his glory. When I was 19 years old, I fell in love for the first time, like really in love for the first time. I dated this girl, and you know what? When things moved rather rapidly, and by the time I was 19 years old, I found out that I was going to be a young dad. When I was 19, what I did was I owned up to the responsibility and did what I thought was the right thing and knew was the right thing to do at the time, and I married her. Now, when you're 19 years old and you got no God necessarily in your life at all, now all of a sudden you see things that you thought were going to make it easier and make it better. It actually got worse and harder. From that moment on, from the moment that we were already together, even before the birth of our daughter, Courtney, and from the time from that moment, I still struggled and she did every single day to keep this relationship going. By the time we were 21, 2 years later, we were at a crossroads. She didn't want to stay. And I needed her to stay. I wanted her to stay. I begged her to stay, but she didn't want to. She left, which is very highly unusual. And here I am, now at the age of 21, raising a 2-year-old daughter all by myself. Never mind the pain on both sides, because there's pain on both sides. She's got a story to tell that I'm sure it would be powerful in and of itself, but I was raising our daughter, and I stayed. And when I was 19 years old, I was telling the guys at 21, you haven't lived until you've had your 2-year-old daughter pat you on the back because you can't sleep because you're crying. And I remember that during that time, I cried out to God. I said, God, if you'd come into my life, God, if you could help me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And God would help periodically, and then I wouldn't follow up on my promise. And finally, my friend had seen my pain. He saw what was going on. They didn't know that I was suicidal. They didn't know that I was contemplating some things. But I also knew that if I left, nobody would take care of her. I know my parents would. I know my brothers and sisters would. But then I thought about the guilt that my parents would feel with if they're standing over my grave. And I said, I could not do that to them, so I got to stay alive. So this little girl, I thank God, kept me alive long enough for me to get saved. My friends would tell me, you got to come to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. You got to come to church. I don't want to go to church. You got to come to church. I don't want to go to church. I like God. I don't like church. He goes, how do you know? You've never been to my church. Tell me about your church. He goes, well, my church, we got music. I said, what kind of music you got? He said, we got drums and we got guitars. You got drums and guitars at your church? He goes, yes, we do. Wow, I never heard of that. I said, well, tell me what else about your church? What about your priest? He said, we don't have a priest. We have a pastor. What's the pastor? Pastors get married. I said, okay, tell me about him. He said, the pastor preaches from a Bible. He preaches from a Bible. I said, what? Who preaches from a Bible? Are you kidding me? He said, people preach from a Bible. They preach from a Bible. I said, okay, so you got music. You got, tell me about the worship. He goes, well, we got transparencies and we got the old overhead projectors. You got overhead projectors. You got transparencies. I said, that's not what I'm used to. He goes, yeah, just come in. You like it. You actually love it. I said, okay, you got drums, you got guitars, you got transparencies, and your pastor preaches from a Bible and wears jeans. He goes, yeah. I said, that ain't a church, bro. That's a cult. That don't sound like no church. I don't want to go to your church, bro. That scares me. He goes, no, you would love it. You would love it. And week after week, while I was a valet at the restaurant, he was telling me, you got to come to my church. Finally, he says, Mike, you got to come to my church. I don't want to go to your church. You got to come to my church. I don't want to go to your church. He goes, okay, I'll buy you breakfast at Flamingo's restaurant. I'll go. Because how many of you know that pancakes can set you free when you're 21 and you ain't got no money? With a side order of bacon. So that day, I got my 2-year-old daughter dressed up. I got her ready for church. We got in the car, and we went there. And for the first time, I was nervous. You know what I'm talking about? I could hear the music. Dun, dun, chak, dun, 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 chak. My heart was going, dun, dun, chak, dun, 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 chak. You know, I saw people all happy. Where's all these happy people from? You know, so happy people all over the place. They were making me nervous. Where's the Kool-Aid? Am I drinking, sipping something pretty soon? What's going on? They've all passed in the Kool-Aid when they passed the bucket. I was all nervous. My heart was dun, dun, chak, dun, 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 chak. But by the time I got closer to that, I saw the worship words on the screen. And you know what? On the transparencies, back in the day, it was the highest technology that we had. And I saw what I could say was love songs to God. Because I didn't know music like this. And I walked in and I said, those songs, They're beautiful, but they're love songs to God. At the end of that service, I don't remember what the preacher preached. I don't know exactly what he said, but all I knew is this. When he said, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, come over here, raise your hand. And I did, and that changed my life forever. I praise God for the work that he was doing when I was far from him. And I praise God for the people who cared about me when I was far from him. In Jesus' name. Naaman is leaving on a journey. And the Bible tells us that he heads down to Israel. It says in verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay because he's a king and not a prophet, right? And this is what, this man sends me a leper to heal? Am I God that I can just give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Look, why are you mad? Fix your face, right? Why are you so mad? Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So look, take the 8 mile. You took an eight-hour journey. I know you came from Syria. I'm sorry. Now you've come to see the king of Israel, and he ain't got no power. Sorry about that. Now bring him my way, and he brings him his way. And now the Bible tells us that so Naaman went with his horses and his chariots. Why horses and chariots? Because he's carrying a lot of gold. He's carrying a lot of silver. He's got 10 pairs of Air Jordans, somebody. 10 pairs of Air Jordans. You got to guard that. He's coming with an entourage. He is a general. He's not traveling alone. He's traveling with guys who are going before him on his journey. He's got guys clearing out the journey for him. He's got guys watching his back on the journey. This is a general of a major nation in the Middle East. And so the Bible says that he goes to Israel and he goes to the prophet's house. Now, when you think about this, automatically we're reading two sentences. We go, oh, yeah, he went. Oh, yeah, he went. Oh, yeah, I got it. No. Use your imagination. Think about this. Read between the lines. Look at it. Okay? He didn't go to no mesa, right? He went into a city. And on each side are high walls, like the Middle East is famous for. And while he's walking in there, can you imagine how nervous they might have been? Well, make sure we don't get cornered in this place. Make sure we know the way out. Have you done some recon and we going in? When are we coming out? Where's this prophet's house? It's not a house necessarily. I thought it was in the, no, it's not there. It is in the city itself. And when they get there, Naaman, General Naaman, walks up to the door and he knocks on the door. And when he knocks on the door, guess who comes to see him? Not Elijah, but an assistant. This general has been given a runaround. This general has gone north, south, east, back to the west, back south again. He's traveled. He's gone somewhere. He is hot. He is dirty. He's got leprosy. He ain't got no hope. There is no cure for this. He's lost his feeling and his heart's gone numb. Something is missing in his life. He can't exactly put his finger on it because he's got two less than he had the week before. It's not working the way that it should. He's a general. He's got too much to live for. I've come so far, but I got so much further to go. And when he comes to the man of God, he had expectations. And when he gets to the door, who he got? He got assistant pastor came to the door. He won't even come to meet him. The man of God won't even give him time for coffee. Pastor Jurgen didn't meet with me. I got Johnny Heinrichs. Pastor Leanne was too busy. Yes, they are. And you know what? Sometimes you don't get what you want because God's trying to reveal something that's in your heart. He's not worried about the leprosy on the outside. Sometimes he's worried about the leprosy on the inside. Praise God for the journey that exposes what you're going through. I gotta hurry. So then he says this. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door, but Elisha sent a messenger to them with this message. Go and wash yourself seven times. Go and wash yourself seven times. I can say, okay, if I was Pastor Jurgen, this is what I would do. This is what I know what I would do. Naaman walks up, and the butler opens the door. Sir, my master says, take two of these and call me in the morning. He is too busy. He said, dunk yourself seven times in the Jordan River, then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. And I'm talking regular English because I don't do so good. So this is what I said. But Naaman became angry and he stalked away. He had expectations. He had something elaborate in mind. He had something more than just go dunk in the river.
This is what he says. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. He said, I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy, call on the name of the Lord his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and the Abana and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. Can you imagine the scene? He gets up there, go dunk in the river seven times. Thank you very much. Walks away, totally upset, fuming, okay? Naaman's name means pleasant to look at. I can tell you right now, he's difficult to work with. All of his servants, all of his soldiers, master, seven times. He left in a rage. Now he's got to go another 5 hours from where he was just to get to the Jordan River. And he's right. The Jordan is dirty right where he was going. It's murky. It's not that clean. At the top of Dan, it definitely is beautiful. Dan, it's clean. Dan, you can put your mouth to the water, your hand to the water, and you can drink it right from there. But not that part of the Jordan. It is dirty. So now he says this. He says, but Naaman became angry, stalked away. And he said this. Now, I already read that. Look at verse 13. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something more, very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So in other words, was that too simple for you, sir? Was that too simple for you, sir? If that was my soldier, I would say, off with thy head. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have said that. But anyway, moving right along. So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself seven times. I won't pause right there because it's too easy. That's too easy to read. We can just read that in the sermon and go home. But there's more to it. Number one, real quick, how to have a smoother journey. Number one, obey the message of small things. Obey the message of small things. The simplicity of the gospel. I had the hardest time that I had with the gospel at first was, it's too simple. I don't get it. There's no more extra things that I need to do. All I got to do is just believe by faith and receive. It's too simple. It's too good to be true. And if it's too good to be true, I wasn't taking it seriously enough. Number one, obey the message of small things. Just dunk seven times. Just seven times. Accept the simplicity of the message. Don't rob yourself because the message is so simple. Don't rob yourself because you might feel Naaman felt entitled. Naaman felt disrespected. Number one, obey the message of small things. The Bible says, if you're faithful in the little things, God will put you in charge of many things. It's the small things. To the person next to you, say, it's the small things. It's the small things. Number one, obey the message of the small things. Number two, allow for input in all areas of your life. Allow for input in all areas of your life. I love the humility that they would still listen to, even though he was angry. The little girl. Oh, if my master could only. The young servant. If it was harder, would you have done it? Wouldn't you have done it? But it's that simple. But it's that simple. Allow for wisdom to enter into your life. Allow for people to speak into your life. Sometimes we are in the way of our own healing. God has given you the remedy. God has given you the solution. But it's not the way that you wanted to do it. You wanted it packaged a certain way. You wanted to happen, wave his hand over you. Or you didn't want to dunk. You wanted six times, but God said seven. We got to allow for input in all areas of life. Number three, you don't have to understand everything to see God move. You don't have to understand everything to see God move. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand it. When I first walked into the church at the age of 21, that's like 29 years ago, everybody. 29 years ago. I've been a Christian longer than I've been alive. Well, no, that doesn't make sense. I've been a Christian longer than I've been a non-Christian. And I remember when my friend Brandon said, you got to come to church, and he said, I'll buy you breakfast. I said, okay, I'll go. And I got my daughter ready, and we went to church, and I saw the worship for the first time. And I walked into that church. I can tell you that it didn't happen exactly how I wanted it to happen. I can tell you that I went through the entire process, but still didn't come out the way that I thought it would. I can tell you that I was faithful to the very, very end, and even after that. And they tell you when it's over, and even when it's over, it still ain't over. And then even then, it's still not over. And I said the same thing. Even though it's over, it ain't over. Even then, it's still not over. Even then, it's not over. Then finally, there had to come a point where it actually was over. And that was the saddest part. And what began to happen was I began to pray. And I said, Lord, if I can ever, after a year of healing, after being for 2.5 years of being single, really, but being separated, keeping my virtue and not seeing anybody else,
praying for God to heal, praying for change. But it was only happening in me, and it didn't happen in that fashion, what I thought it would. It would have been easy for me to say, that's not what I expected. I expected different results. And I could have walked away in a huff and said, this doesn't work. Church don't work. God doesn't work. I didn't envision this. I had different expectations. And I had expectations. But God was doing something in me, and he was changing my life. Can you imagine what this looks like, that this man had expectations? He knows he's a dead man walking. There is no cure for what he has. And the remedy is go dunk 7 times in the Jordan River. He's got some time to simmer down. Time has passed. A few hours have gone by. Quiet, silenced, and all of a sudden he starts barking some orders, saying what he needs. And by the time he gets to the Jordan River, I can see him looking at the water and looking at the water going, the water's dirty. I ain't going in that water. Sir, he said 7 times. Oh, I got it. Get in that water. In the water, sir. Come over here and help me take off my uniform. He began to strip off his helmet and take off the helmet, strip off his insignias and all of his emblems, all of the accomplishments, because the man was great. Began to undress him for him because he probably couldn't do it himself like he did before. And there he is, layer by layer, being bare and being waylaid, naked before everybody to see. Slowly the pride has been pulled apart. Slowly God is looking at his heart and not anything else on him. And he's looking at him. And now he stands before the waters of the Jordan. And I can imagine him walking down into the river. And he takes his first step. And the first step, he goes, oh, this water's cold. Kind of like it was at baptism the other day. And he takes 2 steps to get his whole body acclimated, get the rest of his body acclimated. Takes another step. I got a question. Yes, sir. Did he say Presbyterian sprinkle or Pentecostal full immersion? He said, sir, I think it's the Pentecostal full immersion. That's what I thought. Takes a third dunk. Takes a third one, a third step, and every time he takes another dunk, he begins to simmer down, and God begins to do something in his heart. I can imagine him by the fourth one, he's saying, hey, guys, there's fish in here. And he's beginning to change. And by the fifth one, he's singing, peace be still, say the word and I will set my feet. I can see him like, oh man, I'm ready to go in. And the fifth one, and then on the sixth one. And he had to do 7 because 7 is the number of completeness. And in order to get his complete healing, he had to go all 7 times. Don't stop when God is not done yet. Quit stopping halfway when God says 7 and you only stopped at 5. Come on, in Jesus' name, the worship team can come up. Number one, we got to obey the message of small things. Number two, allow for all input in all areas of our life. Recap number 3, you don't have to understand everything to see God move. You might probably didn't understand why that river, why not that river? Why did I have to go there when he could have just done that right there at the door? Why didn't he come to the door? And why did he send his assistant? And why didn't God just give the man, the king in Israel, the power instead of me having to go take this runaround journey? You know why? Because things get open. Things get revealed whenever we are on a journey that God begins to bring things to the surface and show things that he wants to do and change things that only the circumstances that you're going through can bring out. You might be wondering, why am I on this road? Why is this the path right now? Couldn't we have gone straight as the crow flies? And why are we going left, right, left, right? Why are we doing all this? You know why? Because it's the journey that shows you where God needs to work in you. My journey. I thank God for my journey. Because the journey that I've been on, I can tell you it started off painful, terrible. And I did some things and said some stuff and made some vows. But if it weren't for the forgiveness and the grace of Jesus Christ, I could not have endured. I could not have moved forward. And some of you in this room today, you might be on a similar journey. Maybe you weren't a single parent, or maybe you are. Or maybe
you felt abandoned and left out in the cold. Or maybe you might have been the person that might have created the situation that other people are having to deal with at the moment. I can tell you, for both sides, there's healing. There is a process, but forgiveness happens like that. Salvation can happen in an instant, but sanctification happens for your whole lifetime. And every journey on every process, you know what Emerge showed me? I'm still on the journey. That's what Emerge showed me. I can't wait. Lisa's in Sydney. My wife's in Sydney. My beautiful wife. We've been married for 25 years. And can I just say, it has been the best 25 years of Lisa's life. I just want to say, I just want to testify. I just got to testify. I just got to I got to tell somebody. You know, Paul's going to throw me under the bus in Hawaii when he comes to our men's conference. But why I tell you that? My journey. I don't even know why I told you that. Can I show you what God did and how he restored my life? Can I get the picture on the picture? She's amazing. I never thought that after what I went through, I could get a precious family like this. Here's my oldest daughter, Courtney. She's the one I raised since she was two. This is her husband, Jason. And these are our two grandchildren. This is Aukai, which means strong current in Hawaiian. And this is Bowie, which means David Bowie in English. My daughter's very unique. Courtney and Jason. My wife, Lisa. My youngest daughter, Karis. And that's Rebecca. Rebecca's single. She's 21, but don't even think about it. Pastor Leanne has to handpick him. Handpicked. God has restored my family. This is my dad and my mom at the top at their 50th wedding anniversary. My siblings and my nephews and my nieces. If you saw the picture, but I don't want to show it to this service, but if you saw the picture, what I look like as a single dad holding Courtney, and you see this, you'd be like, wow. Can I just tell you, God can do that in your life, in any area of your life, can I tell you? But you gotta get on that journey. Can I get an amen? I got my last point. Oh, can I give you my last point? Pastor Leanne, can I have two more minutes? Thank you, I appreciate that. Okay, here it is, number four. The reason isn't always the reason. Okay, why is he on this journey? Why is he getting the runaround? Why I gotta go to DMV and wait 8 hours at DMV? It's universal, everybody. Happens in Hawaii too. I don't know. Why do we? Maybe God's trying to do something. But that whole journey that you're on, the reason isn't really the reason. When you look in Mark chapter 2, the house that Jesus was at when he was preaching, when he first started his ministry, was filled and packed with people. There was no room, and he was preaching the word. There was no room. Nobody could even get in. So the four paralyzed guys show up with the paralyzed friend on the mat, and they get over there. They can't get in. You know why? Because everybody wanted to pack the house. You know why everybody wanted to pack the house? Everybody had a different reason for packing the house. Some people wanted to see a miracle. Some people wanted to see the rabbi. Some people wanted to see that. Some people wanted to see other things. You know what? Whatever it was, everybody needed to pack the house. Everybody had a reason for coming to the house. Every person in this room has a reason why you've come to the house. It could be because of marriage. It could be because of depression. It could be because of purpose. It could be because this is the way you were raised and you walked away from it and now you're coming back. Awesome. We all got reasons why we come to the house. We all pack in this house today. You know what? But we all leave with one purpose. The reason isn't always the reason. Could you close your eyes and bow your heads with me, please? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you so much for C3. Thank you for the Central Campus and your pastors who've led this congregation into greater and greater heights than ever before. Lord, I thank you for your word that we've come around this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're molding us and shaping us, and the journey that we are on is there's no end in sight until the day that we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Until then, Lord, I pray that you strengthen every person for the journey. You help us to see that the reason isn't always the reason. Obey the message of the small things. Father, that we have to understand that, Lord, that you are working in us and through us, no matter what is going on in our lives. I pray for every single person here today, that, Lord, that you would show them, here's why you are on this journey. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Would you keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed for a few more moments? I need just a few more moments of your time. Would you, every eye closed and every head bowed in this place, I want to lead you in a prayer that is the most important prayer that you probably will ever pray in your life. Let me tell you, you're going to pray some important prayers. You will pray bedtime prayers. You will pray hospital prayers. You'll pray prayers that you didn't even know you were praying, but they came out of your soul because you could not articulate them because of the pain from the news that you might have heard or things that you might have endured. We all will pray some important prayers. But the most important prayer you will ever pray in your life is this one. And it is the one to surrender your life to Jesus, to make him your Lord and Savior. That is the most important prayer. But you know what? God was already working in you before you came to this place. Somebody had already been praying prayers for you to come to C3 and hear this message and to come to this amazing church. Somebody had already been interceding and talking to you about this and saying, you got to come to church. Somebody might be buying you breakfast today in Jesus' name. You know what I'm talking about? Because you are here and you're in the right place. God wants to come into your heart, send his Holy Spirit in you to bring healing and wholeness, to take you on a journey that is going to blow your mind like he has blown mine. In this room here today, from the top to the bottom, to the left to the right, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, if you're watching in Switzerland, in New Zealand, if you're watching in any other state in the United States of America or any country, at any moment you can click that hand if you make it aware that you want to surrender your life to Jesus. But right here today, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, one, two, three, you're going to surrender your life to Jesus. Guess what? You're going to pray that prayer. Here's what's going to happen. Number one, he's going to forgive you of all of your sins. Everything that you've ever done, he's going to throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he removes your sin from you. Number one, you get the forgiveness of sins. A clean slate, a fresh beginning, a new start. You can't pay for this. You can't wash yourself clean enough for this. He can only do it because of his grace, because of the price that he paid on that cross on Calvary when he had us, all of us in mind. That's what he did. Number one, forgiveness of sins. Number two, you get the gift of eternal life, that when you die, your last breath on earth will be your first breath in heaven. How amazing is that? You exhale here, you inhale there, and you'll be with him for all eternity and in his presence. There's no purgatory. There's no reincarnation. You don't get another shot at this. You get one chance, and then comes the judgment, my friends. But let me tell you, he's created heaven and hell. He created heaven for those who've surrendered their lives to him. Heaven, hell already existed. He already gave you heaven. He wants you there. So he's waiting. He's not willing that anyone would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And at the right time, man, I'm telling you right now, he wants you there. Number one, forgiveness of sins. Number two, the gift of eternal life. Here's number three. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a calling and a destiny for your life. He wants to walk with you every step of your journey. He will be with you. He'll strengthen you in every valley, at every peak. It's not going to be easy, but he will be with you. So get ready to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. When you hear me clap, or when you hear me shout three, I want you to raise your hand in this place. And I just want you to put your hand up there, and I'm going to count you. I don't want nobody to clap until we're done. I'm going to count you, and then we're all going to pray together to surrender your life to Jesus. I really believe today is the day of your salvation, that you are not here by accident. You're here by design. God has drawn you here today because today's the day of your salvation. Get ready. Here we go. One, get ready. He will never let you down. Two, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Get ready to raise your hand. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Come on, put it up, put it up, put it up, put it up. Come on, come on, come on. Got one right there and two right there, three right there. Come on, God bless you. And four and five right there and six right there. Come on, seven right there. I got you. Eight and nine right there. Come on, 10 right there, 11 right there, 12 right in front of me, 12 right in front of me, 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. Come on, I got 17 right here and 18 and 19 right there. Get 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else want to join them? 27. I saw 28 just go up. I got a whole row right there. I'm losing count. I think it's over 30 people at least. Come on. God sees every single hand in this place that represents every single heart. Come on. You can still raise your hand. Here's my last call. Here we go. Put it up right now. Here we go. Awesome. 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 Come on, everybody. Before we pray, let's thank the Lord for all the hands that have gone up and all the people who are following Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Okay. I want everybody to repeat this prayer. Everybody in this room and everybody online. Online, put your hand on your heart. I want everybody to repeat this. Everybody say, Jesus, today I surrender and give you my life. Thank you for dying on the cross, shedding your blood that washes my sins as white as snow. I also thank you that when I die, I'll be in your presence for all eternity. But right here, be my strength for today, my hope for tomorrow, my ever-present help in my time of need. You're my God. I'm your child. The old is past. The new has begun. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, created to bring you glory. Thank you for my new beginning, my fresh start, my day of salvation, and my transformation. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Thank the Lord in this house.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.